some relief and leisure time to think or to make them relax
Or
instead
actually
of
release that negative energy that.
exactly. I mean, today, in the day of the internet, and I don't know what's going to come towards to us when we go for the metaverse.
Yeah.
There's something very,
The
very,
life has already become a
very
sedentary kind of
difficult.
life.
Everything is going to be in the virtual world,
Yeah.
and we're going to be completely removed from the physical aspects of this world, which are very important. Our continuous interaction with this physical world is important in our physical development and thereby our spiritual development. So, every child should be groomed in such a way that he or she takes up a certain, at least one or two sports which are necessary for them to release their energies, become relaxed. Not as
So,
professional people, not as a profession, as a way of having leisure and having fun and enjoying our lives.
yeah.
Sports which are, of course, in harmony with the physical aspects, whether as far as being a masculine or a feminine gender, or as far as my physique is concerned,
All right.
there should be sports activities which develop my physical faculties and also my mental faculties, and they relax me, give me relaxation in my minds, in my mind, in my feelings,
All right.
and
Well,
also develops me for the sake of increasing my proximity to Allah Almighty and my productivity in that line.
direction. All right. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi. We're discussing what things parents should be keeping in mind while they are developing their child physically. Professor Naqavi, you said that sports are really important. They relieve us. It takes out the negative energy. And don't you think the things that we discussed that were important with the physical development, that we have to actually reduce our screen time and do a more lot of interaction with the environment for our physical development? Don't you think this physical development, while we are working on this, it automatically increases our cognitive development as well?
Yes, there are many sports which help that cognitive development, of course. Because any physical exercise involves all our faculties together, especially our emotions. And there are some certain games which are mind games,
yeah,
like for chess or other things. Of course, again, there are indoor games. Indoor games are good for mental development, but outdoor games like swimming, archery, I don't think, horse riding, even self-defense techniques, which are very important today.
All right.
We need to develop these things. I mean, when we talk about defense or self-defense, it is religiously necessary for us to be able to ward off the enemy,
yeah,
to defend ourselves.
Yes.
So even self-defense techniques may have to be learned by even women, not just men.
All right, yeah. And actually, you remind me of the beautiful lines from Ayatollah Khamenei, which are posted in our gym. We have a women's gym over here, and it's written in each and every corner over there that how important it is for women to do exercise, because women are also a part of the population and they contribute a lot. They compose a lot of percentage of this population. Well, what else should we be at?
I mean, a child, for example, especially when you're talking about the girls and women, their physical development, physical maintenance of their health is very important in their being good wives and good mothers.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to have that energy. Also, whether it's taking care of their husbands and the responsibilities which they have towards their husbands. So that physical development is very important.
Yes.
Apart from the mental and cognitive things and emotions, physical strength and physical perseverance and is very important for, especially for girls and women. And therefore, sports and many things which are necessary for that physical development are necessary. There's no doubt about it.
I actually met a girl in the gym, and she said she was 16 years old and she was not married yet. And she was saying, I am here basically to get ready for my marriage. I said, how? How could gymming help that? And she was like, well, my parents tell me you should not be complaining to your husband tomorrow that I have backache, I have this ache, I have this and that. So you should not be complaining. So in order to keep her from those complaints, they're sending her gym to develop physically. Well, we'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, teach your children swimming and archery.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm with Professor Nagavi, and we're discussing the things that parents or educators should be keeping in mind while they're developing their children physically. Yes, Professor, do we have something else to add in physical development?
Physical, as I said, it has many aspects, and every aspect plays a role in certain specific fields, as we shall, if we get time to think of the realms and the domains of our behavior, where this mental and physical development is going to be useful for that aspect of life, as we just mentioned, that this physical development of a girl is very important for her in her married life.
Yeah.
So till she becomes ready for that, she has to take care of these things, which are physical. Her physical physique and her health are very important in making her husband attached to her.
Exactly.
So that is very important. That should be one of the things that for the family relationship, which is necessary for the future.
All right.
And then, of course, many things can be mentioned in the physical issues. But the most important thing, the connection between the cognition and the physical development, is through the attitude and the emotions that are required.
All right.
So we need to, as we mentioned before, there are two things, two major factors in our emotions, aspects or two faculties. One is the faculty of, according to the traditional school of thought, that we have on the one hand anger, and on the other hand we have temptations and desires. These have to be balanced.
Yeah.
And they have to be brought under the control of the intellect, the rational thinking, logical thinking that we have. Through that we need to control them. And then these emotions have to be made, channelized towards those activities which are proper.
Yeah.
And so this is the axis between the cognition and the physical activities that we have to carry out in our everyday lives. So emotions have to be managed, that we can control our emotions and feelings and do things which we want our children to do. We make them feel, when they become angry, we should make them control their anger. They go after something which they, for example, desire too much, we need to control that. For example, you feel that your child wants to eat something, make him sit him down and give him some time and think over what he wants.
All right.
Discuss it with him. discuss this with her. Oh, you just want to go and open the refrigerator and eat anything that you get a hand on? No, that's not the way.
Well, that's also coming in the emotional development, and inshallah we'll discuss emotional development in another episode. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, please go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. If you have any questions, any suggestions, any comments for our program, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also search us on our social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. And when you go to our official website, parstoday.com, you'll find a tab, Call of Islam. Over there, you can find our programs. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people. If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Yusuf Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's no land at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and, you know, those subjects. And and of course, we have in those areas the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cakeland after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to a float. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of For a Better Life. This is Asma, and as usual, we're going to go through some ideas that might help us improve our life. Actually, I'm not a preacher and I did not have the intention to lecture you as a preacher. It's a heart-to-heart whisper and we'll have some time to think about things that matter the most in our life as human beings. So there are delicate things in life that we don't come to notice until it's too late. There's this famous poem that says, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." You must have heard it. It actually is a poem by William Shakespeare. And then it says, they have their exits and their entrance. Well, right in this very line, the whole story of life lies. Now, in literature, the theme of life being a short journey keeps reappearing, and it definitely catches too much of attention from the audience. As for every single one of us, we do think of a day that we no longer have any more of time to do anything. It's an inevitable truth that no one lives forever, and there'd be a day that will die after all. Now, don't call me a bitter-tongued speaker for saying this, but really, how often do we think of this fact? How does it affect our life? Is it a depressing thing to keep death in mind? What's the point of remembering death every now and then? Well, before we go for the answers, let's go for a tiny little break and then we'll follow today's topic.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. ourselves, we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. This is For a Better Life, and we are talking about the short journey of life and the fact that death is very close, and in any time, I might be gone forever, and that is so sad, and I start my eternal life, which is the good news, of course. Well, every time we hear of someone's death, a moment of manifestation happens to us. It's as if the clock of our soul stops for a second and we can see the true face of life. At that very moment, I remember that all the hustles and bustles of life are trivial and all the beauties of life are mere distractions. If I have not been aware of the essence of my life, if I have not been close to my Lord, to the one who'll stay on my side forever. I remember there was a story which was called The Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe. And it was a nice story. I recommend you to go for that. Because through this story, you will see different phases of life. Actually, it's metaphorical and it's got too much of ideas in that. But the most fascinating part of that was the fact that whenever a death comes in the middle, whenever they heard of a death of someone, the clock that was sit there in the middle of the crowd started making a sound so that everyone would notice that something has happened, something which is very important. That's exactly what happens in our ordinary life. Whenever we hear about death that happens around us, we feel like it's keeping us. For a moment, we feel like, oh my God, what's happening? A moment of manifestation, just as I told you. Now, thinking of death might sound so dark and depressing, but once I heard it from a scholar who looked at it from a beautiful angle, which actually came from the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, he said, if we look at this transitory life as a short death and on the opposite, look at death as the beginning of our life, then death is going to sound as freedom. Just like you're going to get rid of whatever that is so difficult, whatever that you've been through as a drudgery, you're going to say bye to all of that and then start a new life. Just like how Imam Ali alayhi salam puts it and says, death to a real believer and obedient of Allah is like taking out a worn out dress and wearing a new one. So just imagine how would that look like. It would be just as freedom, something new, something so cool. So I guess they must change the inscription on the tombstone and change the date of death with the date of birth. I mean, they have to write it as the date of birth instead of death itself. Because that's the true thing that happens. And maybe if we looked at it like this ever since we were a kid, then we wouldn't have this dark idea of death. So I guess they must focus on this very point. Everyone who's writing the tombstones, actually, I guess they have to change it all. Because then it would be more of a happy thing, not something mournful. Now, the first step is settled. Death might sound so gloomy, but if we look carefully, it's freedom. And it's to get rid of the sadness and difficulties of life. All the drudgeries, you're going to put them back. And there'd be no more of the sadness, no more of the terrible things that you feel every single night you put your head on the pillow.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
The next point is about what's the use of remembering death so frequently? Well, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, constant remembrance of death will help us from getting too much immersed in the traps of life. And of course, it'll have us make the best of our chances.
And, you know, you're going to be more focused on the things you want. If I think of no end for myself, then I will stop trying and I'll perhaps stop seizing the opportunities for improvement. Maybe I'll be selfish and greedy, and perhaps I'll see no goodness in helping others. Our holy book always reminds us of the temporary nature of life, and it keeps reminding us to seize the chances of salvation and never give in to this materialistic, mundane life. Another important fact about thinking of death is that by keeping this thought in our mind, we actually are saving ourselves from the possibility of feeling regretful for the things we should have done and yet we didn't. Now we got it settled. There's no more fear of death, and actually it's going to be a new start. And the goodness of keeping this thought in our mind is that it's going to help us have more of motivation, is going to help us think of every single day as a new chance that is not going to come back to us. And who knows, maybe the next second I will no longer be among the people who are the settlers of the earth. I might be gone, and so this is very much sad if we do not take the opportunity and if we do not actually do the things that are going to be our only achievements that will help us in the world to come. Because all these good deeds that we're going to do in this world, the mere use of them is to come to our rescue in a time to come in the other life. So that's all. Life is very much of a chance, and then death is a new birth through which you're going to make use of all the chances you've used in your life, of all the chances you've seized in your life and made the best out of them. So thank you, dear listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's session. Until another program, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share, He knows.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, we have an expert from the Islamic House of Qom, Hojatul Islam, Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Karimi. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the ways to control our lust and sexual drive. We know that according to the Islamic teachings, there are some recommendations in order to control your sexual desires, or it's better to say carnal desires. Of course, sexual relations, sexual intercourse are not abundant.
they are, we can say, even recommended by, in its, we can say, legitimate, lawful Islamic framework. Now, first, let's start with the definition of shahwa or lust. According to Islamic teachings, what is shahwa or lust?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So shahwa is referring to whatever one may desire. So some people have the desire and shahwa for wealth, some for, sexual desires, some for fame. So for each and everyone, that desire might be manifested in, something different from the other people.
Yes.
But usually when we are talking about shahwa, people, refer to that shahwa, that desire which is related to carnal desires and the sexual desires. So the first one that I would like to share is that we should not think that this is, nowadays, this is the question asked only by Muslims or by religious people. No, it's a widespread problem in all the societies, and we see that the scholars, the scientists, they write papers and books for people out there to control their lust. Yes. So we shouldn't think that's only an Islamic problem. No.
Yes.
I mean, youth in all, maybe almost all the countries, all the cities, we have people suffering from that.
Yes.
And especially because of the fact that we see the rate of marriage getting very low in all the countries. So people have problems in controlling their sexual desires.
We have sex addictions, for example, nowadays, or pornography addictions, you know. These are the problems of the modern world. That's
This is not the solution encouraged by the, even scientists.
Yes.
Because of the harms, for people looking for such ways.
Yes.
So, but the point is that when it comes to those scholars, those scientists, they just try to give recommendations for the people, but all the recommendations are related to this world. But when it comes to religious scholars, that doesn't make any difference. Christians, Muslims, doesn't make any difference. We have more recommendations here because we have, recommendations related to the hereafter too, and which are taken from the infallible Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. This is the first point. The second point is exactly what you mentioned, that Islam is not against shahwa as an instinct. So when it is created, it means that it should be. We are in need of it, and the protection of the generation is through the same sexual desire. But there must be a channel for it, and the maybe the main channel or the only channel is through marriage. So, unlike some, schools and religions and denominations, Islam does not suppress this desire altogether, but says that there is a framework for it. The third point is that when we are talking about the ways to control lust, it is for sure easier said than done. And having said that, the other point for the people in our time is that the more difficult the job is, the more reward you will earn.
Okay.
So this is a principle.
Okay.
So we shouldn't think that a person living in an Islamic country, in an Islamic city, and
away from the carnal desires.
Exactly.
Or shahwa, because it is an instinct put in the nature of all human beings. And as you said, nowadays, we can say because of the social media and cell phones and all the things, you know, well, one of the main motivators of the shahwa, which are, we can say, the nude pictures are all available. But what are the precise recommendations for those who want to be away from such things? In Islam, we have the concept of taqwa, we have the concept of fasting and prayer the Muslims are obliged to do, and all the things are made to be considered as an obstacle on the way to control our shahwa. What about the other ways?
Sure. Just one last point.
Okay.
As I mentioned, my point was that we can imagine two people, one living in a Muslim country, Islamic region, Islamic city, if we may put it this way, and one living in a Western country with all those attractions.
Yes.
So for sure, the second one has more problems. So we shouldn't think that they may, if both of them, they're practicing chastity, they may have the same reward. No, for sure, the one who is living in a non-Muslim country with all those attractions, if he or she is able to protect themselves, then they may have more reward compared to the people who may not have the same difficulties and problems.
Okay.
And in one narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, according to that narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts of a young person who leaves his or her carnal desires because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Now, let's go to the solutions. The first point is that, and this is, I think, is shared by both religious and non-religious, scholars, especially for the youth and for the teens who are not married, to be away from imaginations, too much imaginations, especially before going to sleep. So, and it is also encouraged for the people that try not to go to bed before you're, too tired. So one of the best opportunities for the Satan to deceive the people is before people go to sleep, before they fall in sleep, and they may go, they may think about different issues, and this power of imagination helps Satan to deceive them in an easier way. So they are encouraged, the youth, the teens, to be away from such imaginations. Like, you may, take a book to read some pages, and it is, well-known sentence that as soon as you take a book to read, then you will fall asleep. So it might be one way. For some people, it might be some games through their cell phone, for example, or watching TV, and so on and so forth. My point is that this power of imagination, especially in our time, is too strong, and people should be away from that and think of some solutions to replace that time spent for imagination.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So you mean by imagination is not, for example, thinking about sexual drives,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Related to that. That's all right.
The next point is haram looks and forbidden looks, which is very important. And maybe in our time, one of the most dangerous ways for our sexual desires to go to, deviation is haram and forbidden looks. So why people are deceived by Satan and they commit several sins which are related to sexual desires? Maybe one of the main reasons is that they are not careful about their looks. This has been mentioned in the Quran and in the narrations. For example, in the Quran, both men and women are asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cast down their looks. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَقُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And in one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying that the haram look is one of the poisonous arrows of Iblis or the Satan. So if you, close your eyes not to look at forbidden sins because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give you a kind of faith that you have not tasted before. So again, I'm putting emphasis on the fact that this is not an easy job, but people need to practice. How? There are some ways, for example, through muhasaba, musharata, muraqaba, which are mentioned as one of the most practical ways by the scholars. So, for example, if you are a person suffering from this problem, I mean, you commit this sin a lot, you may first of all do musharata. Early in the morning, like after morning prayer, you say that, "Oh Allah, today I will take care of my looks." And you may add that, "Oh Allah, if I look at forbidden sin, for example, I will pay $10 in charity if it is difficult for you." During the day, you do muraqaba, and at night, you do muhasaba, meaning that you take your actions into account. Yes. Were you able to act upon that condition with, what you said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not, then you may pay charity,
yes,
which might be difficult for you. Or you may tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will fast the following day,
okay,
which might be difficult. So the next day, you do the same, the next day. And so you will see that after maybe some weeks, at least you have committed this sin much less than before. The third point is that, which many people unfortunately take it very lightly, is the effect of haram music. In our time, we have some kinds of forbidden music which directly, provoke the people, sexually speaking.
Yes.
And I believe that no one can deny the effect of music in this regard. So if you want to control your sexual desires, before that, not only you may protect your eyes, you may also protect your ears too.
That's right.
And we have some narration in this regard too. And the next is to avoid provocative words. Again, teens, youth, when they are coming together, they spend time like telling jokes which might have provocative words in them too. So if you want to protect yourself, sexually speaking, you need to take care of your words too. And that also shows the importance of the friends that you choose. So I think no one can deny the effect of the friends. It
yes.
makes so much difference which type of friends you are associating with.
That's right.
And then for that, let me share one narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that if you listen to a person, it is as if you have served him, meaning that you are a servant to him. So if that person, maybe your friend, talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islamic values, it is as if you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he talks about Satan and his words are satanic, it is as if you have served and worshipped the Satan. So the point is that we shouldn't take this point lightly, the people that we are associating with. No, this is one of the most important decisions in our life. They have direct connection to us and direct influence on us. And when it comes to sexual desires, it shows itself even more, explicitly. So it matters which type of friends we are choosing and we are associating with.
That's
these
right.
are some solutions. There are some more to it, which we yes. share in the following session.
For example, how to spend your energy or, for example, doing sports, which makes your body tired, and then you can have a nice sleep
Definitely.
At night, okay, to be away. Or there are some, as we can see, therapists
mm-hmm.
who can help you through, religious deeds or meditations in order to leave. Some of them are rooted in the Islamic teachings too across the world. Okay. Thank you much, Sheikh. It was
My
very
pleasure.
Kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. In our episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان
كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
In Syria,
part two.
In Syria, I couldn't look the way I wanted to at the passing of 9 years as I passed the streets, alleyways, and buildings. I could only keep myself composed to some extent, as opposed to many others who were in shock and awe when they encountered these scenes. Especially when I saw all of those factories and workshops that used to be full of workers, engineers, and technicians 9 years ago. People who are no longer in their workplaces. Many people who are no longer with us. There's not enough space in the ground to hide their bodies. Sometimes a park in the street becomes their burial place. I felt that in Syria, I didn't have the right to speak of anything other than the war for the past 9 years. However, I decided to at least look for answers to why all of this happened in Syria. Why Syria? In the United States, people are not very political. Therefore, it really doesn't matter to them what happens in the rest of the world.
CBS News came to this place called Attaf with General Frank McKenzie, commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East.
David, we're standing on the Damascus-Baghdad highway, just inside Syria, and what we're doing here is supporting our partners in the fight against ISIS.
However, not all the people here are American. Some members of Syria's opposition visit the TANF base regularly. Apart from their looks and uniforms, they can be recognized by their Arabic language and their Toyota vans. It appears they are opposed to the Syrian government and have come together to fight the Syrian army. But it appears that their main mission after protecting the American base is controlling the roads that pass through TANF. Of course, the Chinese, in cooperation with many other Asian countries, like Iran, intend to revive the Silk Road. This is a decision which is not secret, as they have talked about it openly on many occasions. Till then, the road linking Baghdad to Damascus, and from there to the Mediterranean coast, is still considered as the Silk Road. Wesley Clark is not the only person who believes the war in Syria was planned long before it started. Many others, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., also share this belief. He is the nephew of the former President of the United States. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is both a lawyer and author, published an article in 2016 in Politico magazine entitled "Why Arabs Don't Want Us in Syria." The article stunned many. He writes, "In their view, our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. In their view,
Our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. Instead, it began in 2000, when Qatar proposed to construct a $10 billion, 1,500-kilometer pipeline through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria,